Go back to verse 10, which we looked at last week. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. God is fair, and God will not forget you. That's good news, isn't it? So, yeah. Does God know I exist? Does God know what's going on in my life? There's the promise for a believer. God will not forget you. It's interesting, the word that is used for forget is the Greek word, and I know you're saying, I didn't come here to learn Greek. I like that Nigerian word for Thanksgiving. But it is important to help us understand this. The Greek word is lethe. Just say that word out loud. Lethe, L-E-T-H-E. Lethe. It means to forget. If you were into Greek mythology, which probably not most of us really enjoy Greek mythology that much, but in Hades, there are five rivers, and one of the rivers is the river of Lethe, the river of forgetfulness. It had magic water. And if you drink of this water, you could forget. Now, there's a lot of people I know that drink from that river. Maybe booze, maybe pride, maybe possessions. We drink from that to forget. But that's Greek mythology. There is no such river, but if there was, God wouldn't drink from it. He will not forget. Yes, He forgets your sins, but He does not forget you. Isn't that good news? People try all kinds of ways to find something they can trust in that won't forget them, that they can bank on. A religious system. If I say the right prayers, if I pray to a certain saint, if I count my beads, based on a lie. How about TV preachers who take people's hearts, take people's money, take people's trust? I mean, you know this, even preachers lie. So do elders. So do elders' wives. So does everybody in the world. Who can we trust? Many churches are filled with telling you things that God doesn't say, promising you what God doesn't promise, and false teachers abound. So in whom can we trust? Who can we believe? Psalm 37. Turn to Psalm 37. Listen to these words. Psalm 37, verse 3. I'll give you some time because I was looking at Job. Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. Now, that does not mean that God will give you everything your heart desires. But put your desire in God and He'll take care of you. You can trust in God. There's no credibility gap with God. And the example, going back to Hebrews chapter 6, the example of Abraham. The most outstanding example in the Old Testament, especially, of trusting God is whom? Let me tell you the answer and then I'll ask you again. It's Abraham. Who is the most outstanding example in all of Scripture of trusting God? Abraham. He is called the father of all who believe, of all who trust. In Romans chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 3. Now, with that in mind, look at verse 13, chapter 6. When God made His promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, He swore by Himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to the argument. Because God wanted to make this the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear, to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. And he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, that's a lot of stuff there. But let's just focus on verse 13, 14, and 15. The writer is telling the Jews, listen, the old covenant, he's told them, it's obsolete. And they said, well, we love the law. We love the covenant. Yes. But I want you to look back at history, your history. Even Abraham is an example of what? Obedience or trusting God? Trusting God. But because he trusted God, he obeyed. You see the connection there. Abraham, in your own history, look at your history. Abraham is the example. And Abraham went as far in his trust to God as you could go. He went so far as he raised the knife to kill his own son. Go to Genesis 22. Way back. Genesis 22. And God has told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Genesis 22, verse 9. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay him, his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Abraham replied, do not lay a hand on the boy. He said, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God. Why? Because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. God did not withhold his son, his only son, for your benefit. Abraham looked up and there was in the thicket. He saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Can you imagine the relief in Abraham? God has provided. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on this mountain, it will be provided by the Lord. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. You trusted me. And you obey. In Romans chapter 4, Abraham is used as an example of the greatest example of faith. Abraham, we know a lot about Abraham. He was justified. He was considered righteous. Why? Because he trusted God. Considered righteous by God. Because he trusted God. You see, it's always been not by works, it's by faith, by trusting God. What do we know else about Abraham? We know that Abraham was raised a pagan. He was a descendant of Shem, one of Noah's three sons. But by the time of Abraham, they had moved far away and they worshiped idols. Abraham grew up in the city of Ur. Can you imagine asking Abraham, where are you from? Ur. Well, come on, spit it out. Where are you from? No, where are you from, Abraham? And when God calls Abraham, makes his promise to him, without any guarantee,
except the word of God. God told him to go. And what did Abraham do? He went. Let's read that just to refresh our memories. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1. This is where we first meet Abraham. The Lord had said to Abram, and later God changes it to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great." How great is the name of Abraham? Are we still talking about Abraham? "And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and he was 75 years old. God promised him, "You will be the father of a great nation, many descendants, more descendants than there are sand grains on the seashore, more descendants than there are stars in the sky, too numerous to count." And at this point, Abraham had how many kids? Not one. Finally, Isaac's born. You can read all the story on your own, but finally, Isaac is born. And God says to him, "Take this son, your only son, and go to this mountain and kill him." Wait a minute, God. That doesn't make sense. You made the promise, Genesis 12, I'd be the father of a great nation. Finally, I've got a son. I'm an old guy now. I'm not going to have any more, will I? He does, by the way. But at that point, all he's got is Isaac. And God says, "Take him up to the mountain and kill him." Well, what would you do? How would you argue with God? God, are you out of your mind? You made the promise, if I kill the son, then I'll have no descendants. How are you going to fulfill your promise, God? But Abraham went. No security except the word of God. And he would have killed Isaac. But that's not blind faith. Just believe in something. No. What did he believe in? The character of God. Who God is. And in that there is security in trusting God because of who God is. And Abraham trusted God to the point he would kill his son, believing that God would raise him from the dead. You say, where did you get that? Well, I'll tell you where I got it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Next time your wife says, "Honey, do you know where you're going?" As you're driving down the road, say, "Just call me Abraham, babe." By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country and lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, his son and grandson, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking beyond this life. Now look at verse 17 of the same chapter. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God would raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the death, from death. When God makes a promise, listen to me, look at me, get this. When God makes a promise, you can take it to the bank. When God makes a promise, God puts his integrity on the line. When you make a promise, your integrity is on the line, but we blow it a lot. when God's integrity on the line, do you think he'll keep a promise? And who is blessed through Abraham? All nations who come to faith in Christ. Are you blessed because God kept his promise to Abraham? God's one and only son, a descendant of Abraham. God keeps his promise. When God makes a promise, he is faithful. Great is his faithfulness. Can you take God at his word? Really? For salvation, for eternity, for heaven, that he won't forget you? That he will be with you? That he will provide for you? Can you really take that to the bank? Don't even put your faith in the bank. Is there really security in God? Well, Abraham believed there was. And that's why he's the example. Then as you go back to Hebrews and look in this passage, he's going to give us four reasons to trust God. We'll just look at one. His person. The person of God. Look again at verse 13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. Now, God doesn't need to make an oath, does he? If you say, on my mother's grave, I promise. Well, you make sure your mother's dead. What does that mean? You're swearing by something else. Who's God going to swear by? Himself. Wow. His person. There is no one greater than God in the universe or beyond the universe. Will you agree with me on that? Yes. No one greater than God. And our God, the true God, the only God, cannot lie. That's who he is. That's his nature. He is truth. He invented truth. Whatever God says is true. Let that sink in a minute. Do we take him at his word? All the time? We say, I know you said this, God, but is everything you say always true? No, everything I say is not always true. I don't know anyone who never says a falsehood. Sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's not. We don't always have the right information. Everything God says is true. I have no right to say to God, will God prove it? Everything God says is true. He cannot lie. That is his nature. He has no capacity to lie. So if everything God says is true, then everything God does is right. Correct? And every promise God makes is guaranteed. Every promise. Never can go back on his word. That's who he is. In Titus chapter 1, the Apostle Paul begins the book to Titus with these words. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, listen to this, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And he appointed in his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me, Paul says, by the command of God our Savior. Do you see how you are blessed because God keeps his promise? You have salvation. You have all the other benefits of God. What does James say in James chapter 1, verse 17? Every good and perfect gift. Repeat this after me. Every good and perfect gift. Let's try that again. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, who does not change like shifting shadows. God cannot lie. God will not lie. And since God promised, guaranteed. Since God promised that all those who come to faith
into God through His Son Jesus Christ will be saved, guess what? It is impossible for anyone to come to faith in to God in Christ through Jesus and not be saved. If you're in Christ, you're saved. God's not going to lie to you. God keeps His promises. Did He keep them to Abraham? Absolutely. As surely as God kept His promise to Abraham, He will keep His promises to you. What kind of God would that be? He says, oh, I kept my promise to Abraham, but you guys, you're on your own. As surely as God kept His promise to Abraham, He will keep His promise to you. That is encouraging. And you read back again in Genesis 22, God says, I swear by myself. I promise. Did God keep His promise to Abraham? Yes. Out of one son, how many descendants? You know, there are over 14 million physical descendants of Abraham in the world today. Jewish people. Not only that, but He's the father of all who believe. How many millions are spiritual descendants of Abraham by faith? God kept His promise to Abraham. God has never failed. If you can come up with an example, I'll just sit down and we'll take a minute and you can tell us about it. Go ahead. Oh, but I prayed this and it didn't happen. Well, and that's not what He promised you. So throw that one out. Anybody want to take the time to tell us the time God blew it? God has never failed. Never has God failed. That tells me He never will. I can bank on what He says. Abraham was secure in trusting God. I can take God at His word. In just the first reason, the person of God, who He is, who cannot lie. He can't possibly go back on His promises. I make a lot of promises with good intentions. And some of them I keep, and some of them I don't. I don't make those promises out of deception. I don't mean to break the promises. But circumstances happen. I promise I'll mow the yard tomorrow. And there's 5 feet of snow. I can't keep that promise. I didn't mean to lie. But circumstances. I fail. God cannot fail. Because who's in charge of the circumstances? He is. That's His sovereignty, His providence. I know people who make promises out of deception. People who may promise me this and that, they want my money. They want my vote. But listen to this, God doesn't need your vote. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't even need your thanks. He's just fine by Himself. But my God has no capacity for deception. No capacity for falsehood. So can you trust Him? Do you? Daily? If you trust God, then what you got to worry about? Do we take God at His word? Should Christians, why is worry mentioned in Scripture as a sin? Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, my goodness, it's all falling apart. Don't you trust God? That doesn't mean we're not concerned. That doesn't mean we try to do what we can. That doesn't mean we don't pray for each other. That doesn't mean we become lazy and just say, okay, sirrah, sirrah. But do you really take God at His word? But I've got this disease. Oh. What's the worst that could happen? I might get so sick I die. Then what? I take God at His word. Isn't heaven going to be a lot better? Do I really trust God? When Moses is about to die and the children of Israel, he's led them to the brink of the promised land. And God says, you're not going in. And Joshua's going to take over. What do you think Moses said to Joshua? Well, I put up with these people for all 40 years and they're griping and complaining. And now you get to go to the promised land and I got to go up here and die. No, here's what he said to Joshua. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Well, there's some other reasons in this text we'll look at next week and the next week why we should trust God. But I think His person is enough for you to chew on this Thanksgiving, isn't it? When God made the covenant with Abraham, and you ought to read this sometime, it's in Genesis 15. He had Abraham cut some animals in half and lay the animal pieces half and half. Half of this animal, the other half over here. A whole row of animals, halves, dead animals. Lay them out. And then Abraham sat down and went to sleep. While he was asleep, God walks through the aisle between the dead animals. And you said, that's weird. Just go ahead and say it. Why did He do that? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you. It was a custom in that day that when you made a covenant, an agreement, a treaty with someone, you would lay out dead animals and both parties would walk down through the aisle as a symbol that they were both going to keep their word. Well, what part did Abraham have in that? He was over there taking a nap. Only God walked down through the aisle. What does that tell you? God keeps His word, and God makes a promise to Himself that He will keep His word. We talk about the covenant with Abraham. It really wasn't a covenant with Abraham. It was a covenant God made with Himself. That's my God. He keeps His word. If you are blessed, thank God and trust Him. If you are not as blessed as you would like to be blessed, trust God and thank Him. If you have troubles in your life, woe is me, I've got this and this and this, I've got problems in my life, I can't figure this out, I don't know what to do. Same answer. Trust God. Give Him thanks. Well, what about when I don't know the answer? Trust God. Give Him thanks. You see, that's maturity, that you trust God when you don't know what the answer is. You don't know where you're going, except heaven, but you trust God. God is faithful, is He not? Thank Him, trust Him. In Hebrews 6, here's your part, my part, verse 15. After waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. I don't think we got that. Let me read it. You repeat it after me. And so, after waiting patiently, you say, well, God, I've been praying about this for 3 hours now. Come on. God, You promised. Yes, God will keep His promise in His time, on His schedule. My job is to wait patiently, trust Him. How long? How long does it take to develop patience? Can you nuke that in the microwave? We pray, God, give me patience.
That is a very dangerous prayer to pray, is it not? Because God will bring things in your life to help you develop patience. Verse 16, men swear by someone greater than themselves. And the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to the argument. Who's greater than God? No one. So God swore by himself. Verse 13. And so guess what? It's settled. End of dispute. I'll wait patiently, God. I don't know the answer. I'm going to wait on you because I trust you. Great is your faithfulness.